And welcome back to the latest greatest episode of the Shaving Points Podcast. My name is Jayden May, joined as always by my co-hosts, Quentin Crisco. How are we doing there, Quentin?
Doing good, man. Grinding down to the nitty-gritty prospects, trying to find, you know, the gems. And just like at this point before the draft, like my draft guy goes out next week. And it's just like losing sleep over the guy that I haven't watched yet. You know, trying to find that one guy. He's gonna land in the top 100, but I haven't realized it yet. We're doing good.
Yeah, that's very good. So we're gonna talk a little draft tonight. Is there any particular way you want to break this down? You want to do some position groups? You want to do offense? You want to do defense? You just want to do some sleepers you're looking at? How do you want to go about this breakdown that we got going? I know. Cowboys fans watching want to know about the running backs. Some Bears might want to know what y'all can do at 9. Trade back opportunities, get maybe grab O-line later on, maybe grab another receiver. Keenan Allen coming in now, maybe not receiver so much, but never hurts to have a third.
Still need another receiver.
Still never hurts to have another third receiver in there with y'all.
Yeah.
So.
But I think let's just kick it off with running backs, because I pulled a bunch of stuff on running backs here because I knew you wanted to talk about them. And let's see. I'm going to get my screen pulled up on here so anyone watching can actually see what we're talking about. Boom. And, is there anyone you want to start off with among these guys?
I like Braylon Allen and Andre Estime.
Man, so Braylon Allen is a tough one for me because, like, I respect his game and, like, his power. Just the way that he, like, goes about the game, being so physical and big.
I like Wisconsin running backs, too.
I do, too, but he's slow, man. Like, just I want to see him attack the hole harder. I want to see him get more acceleration into there, and he just can't. And it really scares me, like, about the prospect of drafting him, just because I see him and I'm like, is this Toby Gerhart?
Yeah,
this might be Toby Gerhart.
Toby Gerhart, you know? Was electric in college.
He was, and so was Braylon Allen. But like Braylon Allen, I'm just not sure he can play passing downs unless he's in protection. Like that right there, that was some nice pass protection, right?
Yeah.
But he can't be an outlet for the pass, just unless it's a swing screen or something. It's the only way that I see him being useful in the pass game when he's not in protection. He's just so slow to get from the backfield into the route concept. But there is a combine. What?
Did he run at the combine?
I think so. Let me see. I've got his stuff pulled up in a different spot. Let me see. B-R-A Braylon Allen. Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't run. He did. All he did was vertical jump and broad jump, and he was below average in both.
I'm guessing he didn't run a pro day either. Did they even have a pro day?
Not that I've recorded yet, at least. I mean, if I don't have it by now, I doubt he did.
Yeah.
So, that I mean, sense. I think he's more of a great college player, like role player in the NFL kind of thing, just because I see him getting caught from behind a lot at the next level. I see him just getting.
Well, with the new rule change, if you get caught from behind, that's fantastic, because most likely it's going to be a drop tackle.
Yeah. I mean, quite possibly. Yeah, why is Wisconsin passing so much early in this game?
They're playing
some run snaps here.
Yeah,
he brings power. He drags tacklers, but there's just nothing explosive to his game, and he's tight hit.
It's not coming through clearly on my screen. It's very.
Is it not?
Yeah, it's like very choppy. I don't know if the audience has seen it the same way, but
hopefully not. Let's try this. That get any better?
It's like showing like one frame per second.
Okay. Well, but then That plan might be toasted.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the stream looks on it though. But Braylon Allen, guy I like a lot. So where is a guy like Braylon Allen getting projected? Like, what do you think?
So, let's see, on the PFF big board, that's where I go. That's where I use for projections, just because I try to avoid projections pretty much while I'm doing this, so I can form my own opinion. Yeah. On the PFF board, he's 134th. On my board, he's 143rd. So you're talking fourth, fifth round type guy. Which fourth college, you know, really pretty. It doesn't add up, but.
Yeah.
Based on what you see on tape, I'm just not sure he's dynamic enough to be a consistent threat at the next level.
Yeah. Definitely some like fourth, fifth round though. I mean, if you them rookie legs, man, you might still get that 1,300 yards out of them, six or seven touchdowns, and just draft somebody else next year.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. I mean, he'll have a role, you know, whether it's
he's young too, like, isn't he? Because then he gets to Wisconsin, like, so he's young too, isn't he? Because then he gets to Wisconsin, like, 17 or something like that?
I think so. I think he's still pretty young.
Like, 20, I think. I could be wrong.
No, I think he's, like, 21, 22. Actually, let's see. I might have it here. Oh, no, you're right. He's 20. He just turned 20.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he got to Wisconsin at 17.
So, if this is coming through clearly, like... That's an example right there. I thought he had a cutback lane. I thought he had a bit of a cutback lane there, and he's never going to be a runner who will be able to take advantage of a cutback lane. And just when there's defenders closing in on him, he can't narrow the hole because he's just not fast enough.
What if he just gets faster?
Is too vague of a word. Explosive enough. And like this one is actually a really good example of him finding the corner. He can't get horizontal in the run game at all. He's just going to get chased out. If he could get faster and more explosive, it becomes more interesting. But then I start to wonder a little bit about his running style. His whole life has been this. Is he a guy who will take time to adapt to that? Or will it just be that easy to him? You know, maybe it would. It's tough to say. But let's throw on a little Audric Estime because... That's a guy
who's my favorite coming into the draft.
He's a guy who did not run well at the combine. He ran a 4.7, but after the combine, he did his pro day. He ran a 4.55 at his pro day. And a 4.55 you can work with. A 4.7, that scared me
off so much.
Not so much. But the main difference with him to me, he's explosive. Like you see him, he just hurdles this guy and he's coming down at full speed again. He doesn't lose that speed after he makes a move. And that explosiveness is huge to me because it means he can bust away from defenders, even if his long speed isn't great. And I do think he has enough long speed to work in the NFL, but he doesn't need the long speed because he can find that corner. He can get horizontal in the run game because of that explosiveness that he has.
So, I like Andre Estime a lot. So, what is he looking like? Like a second or third round pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably a third. So, on the PFF board, he's at 116. On my board, let's see. On my board, he's 90. So third, like mid third round, I'd say to early fourth, somewhere around there.
Yeah. So who's the first running back off the board, do you think?
It's either Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, or this is a name that hasn't been as hot, but I think could become like bigger as we get a little closer, is Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. So starting with Brooks, I mean, Brooks, if he didn't tear his ACL, he would probably be a lock for the first running back off the board. He's pretty darn good.
Second round?
Yeah. I barely knew much about him because he got hurt midseason, and last year he was stuck behind Bijan. So like he wasn't getting – and Roshan. He was stuck behind, too. He was the RB3, but – really, I mean, he's your prototype of like, this is the dude at running back in the class of like, this is your Kenneth Walker. This is your, you know, Jonathan Taylor. Like, this is your guy who could be the workhorse for his offense.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So, I mean, and you can really see what I was saying about Braylon Allen when you're watching Jonathan Brooks. Like, his ability to accelerate into the hole is just on a whole different level than what Braylon Allen was doing. And he's got some really nice shiftiness, and he's big. You don't see guys this big with this much shiftiness that often. Like, 6 foot, 215 pounds, so plenty of size there.
Cowboys,
and he couldn't team test it all because of the torn ACL.
Cowboys team doctor, I'm pretty sure, did a surgery, so he's basically already a Cowboy.
I mean, hey, it wouldn't be a bad signing for the Cowboys or a bad draft pick. Like, he is.
It worked for Jalen Smith until he just got slow out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. There's a, in this TCU game, there he busted a few big runs that were really impressive, I thought. I thought they were early in the game here. Let's see.
One good thing about him tearing his ACL is that, I mean, people basically come back from ACL so easily these days. And so you look at, everybody always looks at like tread on the tires with running backs, like how many carries they got. And the fact that he sat behind two pros last year and then missed basically all this season. I mean, he's coming into the NFL with the freshest of legs.
Yeah, he is. I love this play here. Like, he really destroys some tackling angles on this run. It's really nice. I'm not sure if you can see it. Hopefully the audience can, but...
Oh, I see. About a favorite. One FPS is not too bad.
All right. Yeah, he lacks the top gear. Like, but he has enough speed to break away, but he lacks, like, a true, like, lightning speed, you know. He once he's in the open field, he can get caught from behind, but it's not like Estime or Braylon Allen were. And then with Jalen Wright might be the most exciting player in this class at running back,
even more so than the kid out of Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, the kid out of Louisville has all the traits and none of the tape, basically.
Yeah,
like, you see flashes from him that you like, but Jalen Wright, it feels like almost every time he touched the ball, he's electric. This dude, I just watched him for the first time today. This dude is fun, man. Like, he is shifty. He is fast.
I just pulled up the live stream on Twitter, and it's just as bad on there, so we could probably just do it without the video right now.
Yeah. We'll wipe it then.
Yeah. But...
That's disappointing.
Yeah, so... who was that? The kid out of Tennessee?
Yeah, Jalen Wright. I mean,
Jalen Wright.
He's an explosive athlete, plus speed, really elusive, and he shows good patience and vision behind the line of scrimmage to the patience to be able to wait for the blocks to develop and the vision to know when to hit the gas. Like, that's such a big thing. Running backs are hard, man. Like, I have a really hard time evaluating running backs because you're having to differentiate the offensive scheme from the offensive line from the result of a run play, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're having to say, how much is that here? How much is
colleges,
the scheme? How much is the blocking? How much is hitting? And Jalen Wright is a guy who I feel pretty good about that. A lot of it is hidden when he's doing stuff. It's really impressive to watch.
Yeah, it's college. It's hard to tell with all the schemes they have and stuff there.
Honestly, you have a better eye for running back than I do. Like, for skill positions in general, you seem to have a better idea than I do. I'm better in the pits.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like you can just see, like, I don't know. I always seem to, like, know or... or have a good feeling about, like, it factor. I mean, I've been wrong many times.
Here's the best way I think I've heard it described. And this is, like, Robert Schmitz. He's working on the draft project with me. And this is the way he always talks about it when he's watching draft prospects. That you're just looking for movement ability. You're looking for how a guy moves. And that's just not the way that I watch film. I grade every play, every snap that the guy's out there. And it's such a different mentality for skill positions of like, you're looking for special movement traits more than anything. And I just have a hard time putting that into a number and grading it down into like smashing that thought process down into a number that I can put into a grading system.
Yeah. For me, it's a lot of it's just the eye test too. It's like last year at Jahmyr Gibbs, I was so high on him. Like just watching him just like a duck in water run the football. I was like, it's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, he was awesome, but he was a guy who I probably didn't notice him as much as I should have last year, just because, like I said, it doesn't stand out to me the same way as it should.
Yeah.
I'm so like geared into offensive line, defensive line of like, you know, the slow grind of that, that it's hard for me to step out of it into the skill positions. And so I'm trying harder this year to do it better. But last year was definitely, I was like, I just didn't see it sometimes.
Okay, so let's talk about, what is it, the kid up from Louisville that freaking broke the combine?
Isaac Guarendo.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, 6 feet tall, 220 pounds, 4.33 40-yard dash, 42-inch vertical jump, 129-inch broad jump, so that's what? 10 feet 9 inches.
Didn't that break the record that was held by Byron Jones?
Probably. I mean, it was not close to it. I mean, athletes like this are rare at this size. And he, on tape, like, here's the thing with him, he didn't touch the ball a lot. Like, he didn't get many opportunities to run. When he did some really nice things, but it was like he was part of a three-man committee at running back.
Yeah.
And so there's not tread on the tires, but there's also not much experience there.
Yeah. He's like, who's that kid that went to the Texans from Florida that we loved?
Damian Pierce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, I guess.
Yeah. Like I pull up his stats here. He had 132 carries on the season. He only had five.
Is that 10 games? Like 10 games or 10 carries a game?
I mean, he had 6 games over 10 carries and 7 games under 10 carries.
Yeah.
Sorry, 8 games under 10 carries.
I'm interested to just see that kind of athleticism and how it plays out because, I mean, he ends up in a San Francisco offense or a Shanahan offense. Like, I think somebody could do something with him. I'm excited about that kid.
I mean, he's most dangerous when he can find that outside track that, like, and Shanahan likes the wide zone run concepts, or he did before. This past year, he did a lot more gap, but the wide zone concepts have become really big in the NFL. And Guarendo is
most dangerous when he can really open up his stride. Down in Miami, they always hit a running back.
Yeah, no, I mean, Miami would be an outstanding fit for this kid. Now,
Mike McDaniel runs a shell of football.
On tape, though, the athleticism doesn't always match the testing on tape. Like, he's not as explosive in short areas as you'd think.
He's not like Mostert?
He's
not like Mostert when he touches the ball?
Not yet. Like, I think he might be able to be. I think his footwork is really sapping away some of his athleticism. He's really raw. He doesn't know what he's doing out there sometimes. His vision needs to be developed better, and his decisiveness, I think, if he becomes a more decisive runner, I think his athleticism will shine more. But right now, there's still a lot for him to figure out, which is odd. You know, like you'd think a kid this athletic would have gotten more chances by now.
Yeah. So who's the running back in this class that's probably going to be the 5th, 6th, 7th running back off the board, maybe fifth round or later, that you think has the best opportunity to be that breakout guy in the NFL, maybe rookie season, 1,000 to 1,200 yards, 8 to 12 touchdowns, just really a workhorse for a team that was drafted after 5 or 6 guys that you pick up in the 6th, 7th round.
In the 6th or 7th?
It doesn't have to be. Just not one of like the top 3 to 6 guys, like somebody who's gonna go a little bit later or after all the other ones.
So Bucky Irving is a bit of a litmus test because he's small and he's not fast, but no one can seem to tackle him.
Yeah, so where's he out of? Memphis?
Oregon.
Doesn't Memphis have a kid too?
Kentucky does.
Oh, okay. But Bucky Irving
looks similar.
Yeah, very similar. Almost identical, if you ask me. But Bucky Irving is the Oregon kid?
Yeah, I think Bucky Irving has a chance to be that guy. Like, he could completely flutter out of the league, too. Because, I mean, like I said, he's small and he's not fast. But his elusiveness is different. Like, he is just so slippery. Him and Ray Davis, the kid out of Kentucky, that was the other guy I was going to mention.
Great name.
Yeah. Ray Davis, he's just a pro. Like, he plays the game like a pro. He's very average athletically, but you can be average athletically at running back, like average for the running back position, and still be really good. Ray Davis he's going to work his ass off, and he's a good football player. Like, Ray his Davis, story is actually really interesting.
Ray Davis sounds like a running back in a movie that the coach in the movie is like Al Pacino or something.
Yeah, it does. So Davis is actually one of 15 children, and both his parents were incarcerated, and he was placed in foster care by the time he was 8 years old, homeless by the time he was 12. And then at one point there, it was just him and two of his younger brothers. And he had to leave his two younger brothers so they could go into foster care.
Oh, and get adopted. Parents
couldn't take all three of them.
Yeah.
So he made that choice and left, you know, and let his two brothers get a home. And probably one of the hardest things a kid has to do right there ever. Like,
mm-hmm.
So you feel really good about the work ethic, the character of this kid. I think Ray Davis is going to be a good football player in the NFL. I think that's the guy who you're saying could be that rookie year workhorse that like comes out
of nowhere. Just kind of explodes off the scene. Yeah, I think I saw something either NFL or ESPN did a thing on him the other day talking about everything. And yeah, great story or sad story, but
yeah,
I mean the overcoming adversity and everything. I mean, You know, he's not going to blow his opportunity when he gets there.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to work for it, so.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, I was kind of toying with the idea of, like, maybe we do a mock draft.
We can do that.
On the show here. And actually, the PFF simulator's down, so we got a couple minutes to fill. While that loads.
Okay. We can definitely do that. Okay, so let's talk a little Bears at 9. So yeah. What are we thinking here? Is it like best case scenario a trade down, or is best case scenario like Odunze falling to you? Or is there best O-line, case- D-line you like?
Best case scenario is Malik Nabers, then Odunze. Okay. I mean, I personally don't think there's a chance Malik Nabers is there at 9 unless.
What about Marvin Harrison Jr.? Would that be best scenario?
Well, yeah, but if that somehow happens, great. But I mean, I can't put my eggs in that basket.
They said the same thing about the kid that went to Philly last year. Was it Jalen Carter?
Yeah, I think there were a few more character concerns going on there. And that's where I was getting to, though. I think the only way Malik Nabers is there at 9 is if there are character concerns.
Or something comes up.
I mean, there stuff has come out. It's just a question of how bad it actually is.
Did he wreck his Corvette and cause a 7-car pileup in downtown Dallas and run away?
No, he got caught with an unregistered firearm on Bourbon Street.
Oh, don't we all, brother?
But if there is more there to that that scares NFL teams off. Maybe he can be there at nine, but if not, Odunze, I think, is the guy that you have to hope gets there.
Yeah.
But the Bears are making it sound like they're getting a blue chipper one way or the other. So I don't think they are going to be trading down unless this is all just a big cloud game to make every team in the NFL think they're not going to trade down, so their offers get ridiculous. Like, that's the only way that I think a trade down is still in play.
Well, maybe they're like, our top nine, or we have a, you take the quarterbacks off the board, and they're like, we're guaranteed one of five guys no matter what, no matter how it breaks, and we have a top 10 grand on these five guys. Yeah. So yeah, we'd love to stay here. We're not going to trade. So it's not really a smokescreen, but at the same time, it kind of is a smokescreen because, like, everything's for sale in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. So and that's where it's like, you know, you can put your brain into a pretzel trying to overthink it. I think it's still an option, but, like, I don't, they're making it seem like it's not, which could play either way when you're really.
Yeah. I think it's simply like they know there's somebody they love there that will absolutely be there, but at the same time, everything's for sale. So, I mean, both could be true.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that they're sitting there looking at, okay, one of neighbors, Dallas Turner, Joe Alt, Romo Odunze, Johnny Newton are going to be
tight end.
I personally don't even think they're considering tight end there, but I mean, it's possible.
You don't think they go Brock Bowers if he's there?
No, I don't.
You don't think Brock Bowers? I think Brock Bowers will be there. So you don't think Bowers goes top 10?
Right now, I think Bowers is somewhere around 14.
Yeah.
On their list.
I think that should be right. I don't know. Something like, he's got like a small neck or something. I don't like Brock Bowers.
I mean, I'm cool with Brock Bowers. I just don't think you're using a premier pick on a tight end who might be a wide receiver. Like, and if he's a wide receiver, he's a slow wide receiver. Yeah, you know, like, it's just kind of.
Have we ever seen a top tight end off the board really become a difference maker? I mean, the closest we've seen to it in recent history was the kid that the Lions drafted that traded to Minnesota, Hawkinson.
Yeah,
probably. What was he? Closest. Was he top 10?
Yeah, I think he was like five or something like that.
Yeah. But, I mean,
it's just generally tight end has been a bad practice to take that high. I mean, I don't think that necessarily means Bowers would be a bad pick that high. But, like, I just have a hard time saying that you're spending this on a tight end. You know, if it's going to be your last pick this high in a while. I feel like going even.
What about D line there?
It makes more sense. May count. I mean, I think Johnny Newton's seriously in play.
Where is he from?
Illinois.
Is that the son awesome. Of Nate Newton?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Paul Newton.
Paul Newton. Who's that?
I don't know. I thought Paul Newton was someone. Wayne Newton. Is that someone?
Yeah, Wayne Newton's definitely. He's like a. I don't know about his previous life, but he was like one of the. He had like a residency in Vegas.
Yeah. Okay.
I just know that from was it Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation or
Christmas Vacation
or yeah, but not Christmas Vacation. It was the Vegas Vacation, but that franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I think Johnny Newton could seriously be in play.
Yeah,
I think you could be talking Dallas Turner at nine as an edge rusher.
Dallas Turner is what, Clemson?
Alabama.
Alabama. Doesn't Clemson have somebody too? Or no?
No. Not this high.
What about the two tackles? You have Alt and you have the Asumaleme or whatever his name is. Or is there another one in there now?
Fashanu's probably tackle two.
Fashanu?
JC Latham is my tackle two, but he's right tackle only, and that doesn't really work for the Bears when you spent number 10 overall on a right tackle last year.
Is he good?
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Who's their left tackle?
Braxton Jones. So Braxton Jones is like league average. he's replaceable, but not a need to replace.
Yeah.
So if they're sitting at nine and their guys are off the board, I think Olufoshanu's in play out of Penn State as left tackle. Talisi Fuaga is another one. He's a right tackle out of Oregon State. I think that he's better at guard, though. Like, I think he's going to play guard in the NFL when it's all. Like, I'd give him the chance to play right tackle first.
Where is he projected?
Top 10.
Oh, is he?
I'm a little lower on him. I have like top 20 grade on him, which we need splitting hairs at this point.
We also need a guard and center now. I like the center out of Oregon, though.
You and everybody else, brother. Jackson Powers Johnson is beautiful to watch play.
And he's got a great name, too.
Dude, he was wrecking people at the Senior Bowl.
Like, was he?
Dominating them.
Yeah. Jackson
Powers Johnson rules.
He's projected like 20 to 32, isn't he? Somewhere in that late first round.
Yeah. I mean, I've got him at 21 on my board, and that's about where everyone seems to have him. That's about as high as you can go with the center.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a center badly. And I think Tyler, our right guard is going to, or left guard is going to tackle.
Oh boy.
Tyler Smith.
Let me tell you, this is the draft to get a center.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Because, I mean, so first of all, you got Jackson Powers Johnson, who clearly rules. Then after him, you got Zach Frazier out of West Virginia, who
Wisconsin got a center. I'll take him too.
Yeah, he's good too. But so Zach Frazier,
four-time
state wrestling champ. In West Virginia.
That's pretty good. West Virginia's got good wrestling.
Yeah. He's
basically awesome Pennsylvania.
He has such a good understanding of leverage and timing and space. Like, he rules. And then after that, Graham Barton out of Duke, who has played left tackle the last 3 years, but his freshman year played center. He's got T-Rex arms, so he's probably going to be stuck inside at center in the NFL. Yeah. But smart football player, extremely gifted athlete, he's going to be good. Then Bo Limmer out of Arkansas. Bo Limmer eats glass for breakfast, names. Lunch, and dinner, and he just wants to
hurt. Does he eat it with milk or no?
No. No.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah, no. He's a pure glass eater. And dude is considered the strongest football player on Arkansas's football team. He's like a weight room legend there. Extremely gifted athlete at the Senior Bowl in one-on-one. So Bo Limmer's considered undersized, right?
Yeah.
302 pounds. One-on-ones with Tavondre Sweat. 380 pounds. Yes. 380-pound Tavondre Sweat. Bo Limmer and him were going at it, man. This dude is a technician. He is he shouldn't have been able to stop Sweat. And it was like 50-50 each rep, like who won, who lost. Like, they each dominate each other a few times, which is wild when you're talking about an 80-pound difference.
Yeah. So what do we think about Tavondre Sweat now that you brought him up?
I struggle with him.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. I see a less athletic Jordan Davis, and if you really want to draft a less athletic Jordan Davis very high, I ask why.
Yeah, but so then how high are we? Like, how high is too high? Like, if he goes early second?
I think late second. Mid to late second is where I would start to consider him. Because here's my thing. Like,
Jordan Davis is already – Jordan Davis is a freak, and, I mean, that dude already struggles, like, staying on the field.
Right. Well, staying on the field, and an athletic 350 pounder is still a 350 pounder. There's only so many things he can do well.
Well, I mean, tell that to Vita Vea.
Vita Vea is a little different. That dude is freaky.
Yeah.
And Vita Vea isn't even near Sweat's weight, I don't think. I think he's like 30 pounds lighter.
Well, 30 pounds lighter is still 340.
Yeah, okay. I was being nice to Sweat by saying 350. 370.
You said 380.
Still might be a little generous.
Yeah, you said 380, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the Cowboys have drafted him and try to get him down to 290 and just throw him inside and see what happens.
Yeah, it's a great strategy. I think the Washington Football Commander skins are more likely to do that. They got Dan Quinn over there. That's his MO.
Yeah. He loves oversized DBs and undersized interior defensive linemen.
But so a few other centers. I mean, Hunter Norzad might be my favorite player in this draft. It's either Bo Limmer or Hunter Norzad. Norzad was out of Cornell, played left tackle, transferred
University? To Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
Great fraternities there.
He won the he was a semifinalist for the Academic Heisman at Cornell, actually. And transferred to Penn State, played left guard. Then last year, Penn State center goes down, and they ask him if he can switch center. And he goes, yeah, sure, coach, I'll do whatever. And goes and plays center all year. Is really freaking good at it, except for one thing. He couldn't read a stunt for his life.
I thought you were going to say can't stop the ball.
Yeah, he didn't have issues snapping. So he gets better at picking up stunts as the season goes on, so I feel pretty comfortable about his ability to do it. And he's going to be 25 years old next season as a rookie.
Yeah.
So that's going to push him down draft boards. But if you want a starting center, I think the guy can start. Is that? And then out of Wisconsin, Tanner Bordellini kind of broke the combine.
Love that name.
He has serious snapping issues. So he has guard versatility, but he really struggled with snapping the football at Wisconsin last year. But he's good. I don't think his tape doesn't match the athleticism. He tends to leave his feet behind in the block. His feet are just in cement blocks. And if he can fix that, I really liked his anchor. I thought he was really strong in his anchor, but he just needs to be able to run his feet under blocks better.
I gotcha. So what about the white corner that's going to give hope to white kids all around the world to play corner in Cooper DeJean?
I think he's a safety.
Oh, yeah. That's like calling Lamar Jackson a running back. Just plain racism.
He's going to get burned, man.
Why?
Because he can't turn.
Why?
He can't cut.
They said Lamar can't throw, and he's won two MVPs.
That's because Lamar could throw.
That's
in the right scheme, DeJean is going to be fine. It's just being in the right scheme at corner.
I mean, he's more athletic than some great corners that have played zone in the past, like Richard Sherman. Yeah.
That's why I said in the right scheme. In a scheme that won't ask him to make hard lateral cuts when someone runs a double move on him, he'll be fine. It's the schemes that ask him to play press man against those double moves where there might be an issue.
So what about Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Kool-Aid, I haven't watched as much of. I mean, I've watched some. It didn't stand out to me as much. His tape was really clean. So it's hard to remember because it was people weren't testing him. They just knew not to test him, so they avoided it. It was hard for me to put a strong opinion on Kool-Aid because he wasn't tested that much. Teams generally didn't look his way as much, and it just seemed like he had everything under control a lot of the time, which is really a good thing, but it makes the evaluation process kind of difficult.
Yeah. So who do you like your first corner off the board?
Either Nate Wiggins out of Clemson or Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo.
Quinyon. I like Nate Wiggins a lot. I think he's going to go early though.
Yeah, no, I think Nate Wiggins, he's QB or cornerback one for me right now, but it is really close between him and Quinyon. Quinyon pretty much shut down everyone who even dared try him at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, Cowboys. I mean, I know we're looking at O line, receiver, D line, DB in the first round. So there's some guys I like and some guys I don't.
Yeah. I think the PFF mock draft simulator is just down. PFF Brad left for a new gig today, so I wonder.
Oh, did he really?
The whole site's just crashing now.
But, where'd he go?
An agency, I believe. Let me see. It was Twitter.
He's going to end up working in a front office here soon.
One of these days. I mean, I think he's kind of an agent now. We'll see. Let's see.
Whenever he ends up running a front office, he's got to bring us in to just get, like, dudes' opinions on ball.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll be the first people he calls.
Yeah, if it's like, if you just want some dude's opinion on ball,
let us know. He is now the director of football administration for Grand Central Sports Management, which I believe is an agency.
Very good. Yeah, good for him.
The whole website might just be crashing because Brad's gone.
What other? We can do it on. There's other places that have mock drafts, right?
Yeah, I just don't trust them.
I don't trust.
We can do the PFN one.
Pro Football Network.
Yeah, I just every time I see mocks from here, I'm just like, well, that's really unrealistic.
Yeah. Well, if we're doing. If we're picking all of our own players, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's true.
What the source is, so we can just cough your board.
That's true.
Number one overall, gotta be Drake May, because obviously Caleb Williams is going to Washington.
Well, of course.
Did you hear the Harry Cliff?
Everyone knows that.
All right,
we're going,
Caleb. Okay. So number two, is it Drake May or is it Jaden Daniels?
Man, I still think it's Drake May.
I think it's Drake May.
Okay.
Everybody thinks it's Jaden Daniels. I don't think it's Jaden Daniels. If it is, I think Jaden Daniels falling to New England is like the best thing that's happened to him since picking Tom Brady 199th overall.
Yeah, I agree. All right, now this is where it gets weird, though, because I don't think the Patriots take a quarterback if Drake May is gone.
I don't think they do either, and I don't think they take Marvin Harrison Jr. I think this is a trade if the board goes Caleb Williams, Drake May, and I think somebody moves up to get in front of Arizona to take Marvin Harrison Jr., and I would assume it would be the Chargers at five.
Really? Jump.
Yeah, they don't have receivers.
Interesting.
Who's their number one receiver right now? Jalen Guyton?
See, I was more thinking either like someone like the Vikings or the Broncos, or maybe even the Giants jump up and take their boy JJ.
McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
At three? Why wouldn't they just trade with Arizona then to get JJ at four?
Because maybe the Patriots are going to take him.
Oh, you want to give Patriots JJ McCarthy here?
I'm not saying I want to. I'm just saying. I mean, if I'm the Patriots GM, I'm working that aspect as much as I can.
Yeah. Well, so let's assume
Chargers. We can do the Chargers.
I think they having the five pick gives them the easiest way to move up. They go get the number one wide receiver in the class. And it's good. We'll give them the five. We'll give them a third, and we'll give them first next year. 569, and next year's first.
Nice.
I think that'd get it done.
69 always gets it done.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right. MHJ, you are a San Diego Supercharger.
I have been my whole life. All right, so we got Marvin Harrison Jr. going. So now, with the Cardinals sitting there, and Marvin Harrison's gone, now let's say Minnesota trades up here, and goes and gets your boy JJ. Just get wild with it.
I mean, their boy, JJ.
Not my boy, that's for sure.
I will say, I did watch some tape on him, and I get it. Like, I you have to squint, but I get it.
Let's give him 23. Two firsts and three firsts to move up to four. I think that's plenty.
Let's see. Oh.
By who? Is that saying Arizona rejected the trade?
No. That's saying that. Or yeah.
Good, no way.
Or maybe Minnesota did? I don't
know. Yeah, I got this. That's a lot for four. Okay, let's...
So you are moving all the way back to 11. I mean, that has to be...
Just right outside the top 10.
Oh, wait. Okay. Wait, what did I...
No, you put... Yeah, you put the picks on Arizona's side.
Oh, wait, no, I did it right.
Did you?
It was 11-23.
No, you did 4-27 in next year's first, I think.
No, because I didn't have a 35. Do it again. I went down here again. And it was 108.
Do it again. See what happens. See.
Okay. I must have messed something up then.
Yeah. Yeah, you are on the other side.
JJ McCarthy, you are.
JJ McCarthy. So that brings us to the New York Giants. They have a right tackle.
No, we got the Patriots at five.
Oh, Patriots. Okay. Patriots. I think this is Gerard Mayo saying, like, let's just build from the ground up, get this thing back on track, and just take Joe Alt.
I can buy that.
I think Gerard Mayo knows that they're going nowhere fast, and he's not going to try to be flashy and turn this thing around in one season, I think. I think ownership and everything has kind of put their trust in him.
Yeah.
And he's going to try to build something, and you build through the O-line.
No, I'm with you there. I definitely think that they are in a position to kind of restock, not go all in on a quarterback.
Yeah. And they're not going to be great next year either. So, I mean, there's always... If they can't get the guy they want, they're... Why waste a top pick on a Jaden Daniels when you might be looking for another quarterback next year?
Yeah.
So, then New York, I think, is where we see another receiver come off the board. They've desperately been looking for someone for a while. And this is where I think it's either Neighbors or Bowers.
Really? I think it's Neighbors or Odunze.
Yeah, I mean, I could say, oh, yeah, they have Darren Waller now, though, don't they, technically?
Yeah, I mean, he's not. He wouldn't keep you from drafting Bowers, but. I think this is Neighbors.
Yeah, you don't think so? They don't really need O-line. Is there no defensive player that could go here? Because that kind of a nasty defense going on there in New York right now.
I mean, they could go after someone like a. I mean, Dallas Turner or Johnny Newton would be the only two I'd consider this high.
Yeah, we could give them Neighbors here.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
So no real surprises yet. We got two trades. All right, Tennessee. Tennessee is kind of building something there to that where they think they can win now.
Yeah, they...
I don't think they can win now, but they're acting like they can.
They desperately need O-line.
Yeah.
Man, who is their right tackle?
Ben Johnson.
Well, no.
Ben Johnson's their center, right?
No, you're thinking Ben Jones, and he's been gone. He retired.
Oh, Ben Jones.
Dylan Radunes is their right tackle. So they need right tackle and left tackle.
Dylan Radunes isn't very good. He's young, though. Isn't he? Second or third year?
Third, at least. It might be fourth.
And he hasn't been good?
Nah.
That's a shame.
I'm thinking J.C. Latham here.
J.C. Latham.
I think he is the most sure thing on this board, or one of the most sure things on this board. And he gets pushed down because he plays right tackle, but he is dang good.
Yeah, let's get J.C. Latham then. I mean, for a team that's all in, that spent all that money in free agency, I mean, just get a rock at your right tackle and figure it out from there.
So now,
I think this is Jaden Daniels. Let him sit for a year. Who did they end up going to after at quarterback? Who'd they get?
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. Okay. Yeah, let Jaden Daniels sit behind Kirk Cousins, and let him learn from the cerebral mind of putting foil on your grill and buying grills from Houston and just let Jay Daniels sit behind Kirko 2 Chainz.
I think this is a defensive player.
Nope.
Like, this team wants to win right now. And they need some D-line help. And they're pretty nasty. They're
probably, okay. Well, if we're being completely honest, it's probably Brock Bowers. It's Atlanta we're talking about here.
I mean, they already got Kyle Pitts.
Didn't stop him from drafting Bijan.
Yeah, but Arthur Smith's out of the building now.
They had Drake London.
Raheem Morris is your head coach here.
Raheem Morris is defensive guy or offensive guy?
Defense.
Okay. Well, they might go a Terrell Arnold here or Dallas Turner.
Yeah, I think you're going D-line. So Dallas Turner and Johnny Newton, I think, are the two.
Georgia have any guys here?
No, they got nothing.
That's surprising.
I mean, they have a corner a bit later, Kamari Lassiter, but
Georgia's not going to have a first-round pick.
Outside Bowers. I mean, they'll have Bowers, and Marius Mims will probably go first round.
Yeah, Bowers. I forget. Okay. Let's give him Dallas Turner.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Chicago now. I mean, Adunze is there.
Yeah, that's the pick.
Okay. You don't think Jaden Daniels? I mean, might as well just stock up. Court of the market.
Yeah. Okay. Right. But at this point, at what point are the Broncos moving up?
Right here where the Jets are. Because the Jets, they're in win now mode. I mean, you're assuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to be back and play at a high level. And as great as it would be to maybe get another quarterback there for your future, I mean, they're not building for the future, so I think the Jets trade here, get some more young talent on that team around Rodgers, and somebody comes up for Jaden Daniels.
So, can the Jets risk losing their offensive tackle to the Cardinals, though?
Didn't the Cardinals take a tackle last year?
They did, but they still need another.
Oh, they need a right tackle?
They need either one. The guy they took last year can play both sides.
Ah, what a guy. Yeah. I mean, so what if we got two tackles here, what if they love Fuluga or Fontenot?
So for the Jets, there's two guys in play. It's Fashanu and Fautanu because they're the two guys who play the left side.
So
I'm pretty sure the Jets have the right side figured out already.
So let's say the Broncos can offer their 12 and next year's first, then you're guaranteed one of your two guys.
Yeah, you are. It's just a question of, do you like Fashanu that much more than Fautanu?
Do you?
I don't. Or I mean, I like Fashanu that much more than Fautanu. I mean,
so you wouldn't do it.
I would need a lot from them.
Not just next year's first.
Let's see. So 10,
10, 12, 12 and 25 first. Probably throw a fourth or a fifth in there, actually.
Yeah, 121.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do it. That's actually... All right, let's see if the Raiders want to do it.
See if the Raiders want to do it. All right. Raiders. 13 for 10. 13 next year. You throw 77 in there.
All right, the Raiders got their quarterback.
Raiders. Ed O'Connell's got some competition in Las Vegas.
Jaden Daniels actually makes sense for that. That feels very Raiders.
It's because he's black.
No. No. Not at all.
I was about to say, I don't think the Raiders have ever had a black quarterback. Oh, I guess Jamarcus Russell.
All right, so now we got the Cardinals. The
Cardinals.
What a journey it's been.
Yeah, what a journey. I think they just go get their other tackle and Kyler just keeps slinging it. They need receiver badly.
I could see them taking Bowers. Actually, no, yeah. They got Trey McBride. He's still young. Like, he's still on his rookie deal.
I wouldn't be surprised if they trade again here and just keep loading up on draft stock. Because they need a lot. But who?
I could see corner.
Who would somebody come up for here?
I don't know if anyone's moving up at this spot. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess Fashanu.
Well, there's another receiver that's getting a lot of hype, isn't there?
This early.
Oh, Keon Coleman. People love him, don't they?
He's like 45
years old.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Why he's getting pushed down draft boards.
What about Xavier Worthy? Somebody's going to fall in love with that speed.
Not this early.
Hey, they said the same thing about John Ross.
They did.
Honestly, the John Raiders... Ross
weighed more than 160 pounds.
Did he?
Yeah, he had to.
He didn't have to do nothing, brother. He was tall, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. Let's see. John Ross. John Ross. 188 pounds.
I put on all that water weight before the combine.
Yeah, I really slowed him down in his 40.
I wonder half a second faster. John Ross, famously, was he the one that went before Mahomes?
Did he? I think so.
It was John Ross, and it was the kid that went to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Who was the kid that went to Tennessee that just retired not too long ago, ended up on the Jets? Big, tall guy. Tall body guy.
Corey Davis?
Corey Davis, yeah. Corey Davis, John Ross.
There you go.
Two world beaters.
Formula right there.
Well, two teams that both could use a quarterback.
So... I think they'd go cornerback here.
You like Terrion Arnold? I like the kid out of Clemson better. But
let's give him the guy out of Clemson because that's who I have as cornerback one anyways.
Yeah. He's got a CB. Or there he is, Nate Wiggins. Yeah, I like Nate Wiggins a lot. He just looks like a dude.
Do the Broncos get their guy Bo Nix here?
Probably. Probably. You think Bo Nix sneaking in to the mid to late first round would be the most Bo Nix thing ever.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I'd take Penix before I'd take him.
You're not Sean Payton, brother. But, yeah, I think Broncos, they need so much. I think they would try to trade here if they could in this situation. I just don't know who somebody would come up for. Maybe somebody comes up for Brock Bowers here. Maybe the Colts come up for Brock Bowers here and go a little bit extra.
Wait. I think Sean Payton would take Brock Bowers.
Okay, let's give him Brock Bowers then.
I think that's Sean Payton.
Who's that quarterback?
Jarrett Stidham, Texas Tech legend.
I've never played a snap. Jarrett Stidham, their starting quarterback?
Yep.
Oh my god. Yeah. Fuck it, give him Brock Bowers. Let's see what happens. Brock
Bowers. Okay.
Jarrett Stidham famously committed to Texas Tech for a very long time, and then in the middle of the night just decided to change his mind to Baylor. Nothing fishy going on there.
No. Nah. So the Jets get their guy here.
Yeah, for sure. Best case scenario for them. Saints, they need corner, don't they?
They need corner. They need offensive tackle. They need... Actually, I don't know if they need corner.
I thought they needed corner. They could go. I could see the Jets just
pulling. No, they're in pretty good shape at corner. At least starters.
I could see the Saints just pulling the trigger on a guy like Xavier Worthy here. Because why not? Is Dennis Allen really going to just stay the coach there forever?
I don't know.
How is he still the coach?
I don't know.
Because they keep having mediocre seasons in a terrible division and they're always in the run?
I thought he might have gotten fired this year, but I guess not.
It's him.
I think they might go like a Troy Fautanu.
Left or tackle. Brian Thomas, bringing the hometown kid here.
Yeah, but you got Olave already. You got Shaheed. You've got Cedric Wilson. A.T. Perry started showing stuff at the end of last year. I don't know if they see receiver as a big need.
Yeah.
But yeah. Left tackle, they really need someone because Trevor Penning has not worked.
At all?
No.
We liked him.
I could also see them going to Marius Mims and getting wild with it. Because they're the Saints. And that's what they do.
Yeah, they're going to do something that doesn't make a lot of sense. Do they need center? Maybe they just go center here. And get
no, Powers they've Johnson. Got their center. I think
they always do weird shit.
Fautanu makes a lot of sense here.
Let's go Fautanu here. All right, Colts. They need somebody opposite of Pittman.
That they also need
DB.
They need someone. I mean, they got Josh Downs. They've got Alex. They've spent day one and day two picks, or day two picks each of the last 2 years there.
Yeah.
With guys who have shown some promise, at least. Like, let's see. So they've got on the O-line. They're in pretty good shape on the O-line, honestly. On the D-line. Man, this team might be good.
Oh, yeah, but there's Derek Carr's the quarterback.
The Colts?
Oh, I thought we were still safe. Yeah, no, the Colts were, I mean, what? They were a dropped running back screen away from making the playoffs with a backup quarterback.
This roster's good.
Yeah. So how do you maximize Anthony Richardson's potential here?
Tight end.
We don't have a tight end here, do we?
No, we don't. Really? If I'm them, I'm looking defense
or trade.
I'm probably taking Jared Verse.
I like Jared Verse a lot. He's one of my favorite guys in this draft. I mean, you got to get after CJ Stroud. That's proven.
Yeah. Jared Verse or Terry and Arnold, one of the two. Or Quinyon Mitchell.
Quinyon Mitchell. Yeah.
Let's give him Quinyon Mitchell. I think that's the best player on the board right now.
They need to figure out a way to stop CJ Stroud.
Okay. Seahawks. This is a wild card.
The running back.
Yeah.
So Pete Carroll, he's like kind of like de facto GM now. What in that role he took? He's like assistant to the regional GM.
I don't know if they would pass up on the defensive players here, like the D-line guys.
I think they go Jared Verse, or they could go interior and go Byron Murphy. I like that kid a lot, too.
I like Johnny Newton more.
Yeah, let's go Johnny Newton, Illinois kid, going to Seattle. It's just right down the road.
Yeah. But they're changing their defense, aren't they?
Oh, they hired somebody, didn't they?
Yeah, Mike McDonald. Let's give him Johnny Newton. All right, now we got the
Jaguars, who are the perennial favorite to win the division last year, that got third place, that now all of a sudden looks in the mirror. And you have two teams on the rise, and they're sitting there like, how did this happen? It was supposed to be our division. And what do they do? They need receiver, don't they?
They do.
All they have is Christian Kirk. They let Calvin Ridley walk. Where did Calvin Ridley end up?
Where did he go?
It's not a big deal.
I don't remember off the top of my head. They need receiver, but they're not like down bad for receiver. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just think receivers
are worth throwing the board away and going receiver here.
Calvin Ridley with Tennessee. I think receivers, just especially here lately, I mean, you have a run early, then people start reaching and grabbing guys that you didn't think, like, when all of a sudden people that were already committed to receiver is like, well, we're already committed to receiver, so we'll just take the next guy, and they just overdraft these guys, I feel like.
So it's Brian Thomas Jr. or A.D. Mitchell if we're going receiver here.
You don't think it's Keon Coleman, hometown kid?
I don't think Keon Coleman's going until the second round.
Well, I can see him going Worthy here. Somebody's going to fall in love with that Worthy speed.
That's the thing, though. A.D. Mitchell has a 4.3 speed, and he's 6'2".
Yeah, but Texas wasn't good at football.
And same with Brian Thomas. Oh, yeah. So that doesn't work for Xavier Worthy, I guess, huh?
Yeah, let's go Brian Thomas. He's basically a hometown kid.
TJ. All right.
Bengals. I think they go defense here. Match somebody up like Jared Verse with Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah. Or Byron Murphy.
Byron Murphy's a hoss.
Mm-hmm. I think Byron Murphy.
Or they could trade this for JJ Jefferson.
You think that's all it takes to get Jay Jettas?
No, I just think it'll be in the package to get him.
I mean, man, let's go. I really think they're going to want Byron Murphy to replace what's his name? DJ Reader.
Yeah. All right, we've got Byron Murphy. I like that.
And Rams got to go Verse here.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go Jared Verse here for the Rams. And then Pittsburgh, Terron Arnold.
Think they go corner?
I think so. In that division, with Baltimore getting receivers now, and Cincinnati's has the receivers all over the place.
See, this is where I think receiver comes in play big.
For them? Because
they're desperate. Like, they're George Pickens and a cloud of dust.
George Pickens is good.
When he wants to be.
Yeah, who's their quarterback now?
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. Okay, who's the tallest guy who doesn't run across the middle?
I mean, A.D. Mitchell would make sense here, I think.
All right, let's go A.D. Mitchell then. Adonai Mitchell sounds like a Steeler already.
All right, now we got Dolphins.
Chop Robinson.
Yeah, I don't know if Chop's... If Chop's squeezing the first round in the last couple of picks, I think.
Well, I okay.
You're looking at Fuaga or Mims here.
Think they go online here?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got Mims. Just take the kid from Georgia. When in doubt, take the Georgia kid.
And we got your Philadelphia Eagles.
My Philadelphia Eagles. I think they're going to trade this to the Cowboys for a 7th-round pick.
Yeah, I don't know if that's happening.
Who's the biggest defensive lineman available here? That's all they do is just draft monster defensive linemen, which honestly hasn't really worked out for them as well as they had hoped here lately. Big boy can't stay on the field, and Jalen Carter faltered down the stretch after a minor injury.
I did see something interesting about that. Carter's decline coincided pretty clearly with Matt Patricia taking over play calling, which is just interesting. I'm not sure what exactly that means, but it seems like it might be something. It might just be that guy's an asshole kind of stuff, but who knows?
But Jalen Carter's kind of like a... If it doesn't benefit him, like, he don't care.
You know, this is going to be a litmus test for Howie Roseman, because they need to take a corner here.
Yeah.
But he doesn't take corners this high.
No. So.
I think we give him a corner.
Kool-Aid.
I think Terry and Arnold.
He's number 12 on this on the Pro Football Network's big board.
Yeah, he's my corner 3.
Yeah. We can have a corner here. You're just going to get burned by CD anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Boom.
CD is nuts, boy.
All right, we got the Cardinals back up.
Yeah.
I think it's Latu.
Edge guy?
Uh-huh.
We can do Latu.
And you got JPJ for the Cowboys?
Yep. Either him or Cooper DeShane.
JPJ it is.
Packers.
Cooper DeShane is the most Packers pick I can fathom.
No, I can't. We can't let them. We can't let him get away with it. We give him Tyler Guyton. Oklahoma State. That's a Packers pick.
That's a very Packers pick, actually, too. Either one of them are very Packers picks, but I think Guyton would be, too.
I think Guyton would be their guy.
Okay.
Bucks. Bo Nix.
Bo picks.
Now Baker's their guy for the foreseeable future. So they have receivers, but they're getting old. Would they think about a guy like Kool-Aid here?
They need a corner.
Yeah. Or Keon Coleman, hometown kid.
I just don't think Keon's going in the first.
I think he will. Who's this tackle out of BYU? Joe Smith.
Kingsley Suamataya?
Yeah.
Penei Sewell's cousin?
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I have a 4th-round grade on him, but he's considered this high because he's Penei Sewell's cousin.
Hey, runs in the blood. Fourth round grade. I mean,
he's freaky. He's talented, but like he doesn't know what he's doing at all. I think we're looking at Kool-Aid here, or DeGene maybe. Kool-Aid. DeGene works in that scheme.
No, well, we can send DeGene to Arizona. He'll fit right in with that Arizona crowd.
All right, so we got Kool-Aid going to the Bucks.
DeGene to the Cardinals. The Cardinals end up getting three first-round picks after that trade.
Yep.
I got to build somewhere. I think, but Xavier Worthy is also like a carbon copy of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And Kyler loved Hollywood.
I think you're looking at DeGene here. I think that makes sense.
Shit, play him a receiver. Play him a receiver.
You could.
We could get DeGene here. No, actually, DeGene needs to be in Buffalo.
You think they're doing anything but receiver?
I don't want to piss off Stephon Diggs.
This is a tough spot. I think I like Fuaga here.
Didn't we give him a tackle already?
Did we? Gave him Latu and Wiggins.
And Wiggins. Yeah, we'll go tackle here. That's a hell of a draft.
Yeah, it is. All right. So, I mean, the Bills are going receiver here.
Yeah. You think it's worthy for them? Or Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky? I like that cut a lot. He's big body, isn't he?
You like him?
Isn't he like 6'4"? Like 215?
He's like 6'1.5", I think.
Oh, that's not how I'm thinking of them.
I mean, he's shifty. He's just he's all screens. Like he does so much work on screens. You're probably thinking Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, is he about 6'4", 215?
He's 6'2", but he looks 6'4". He just dunks on dudes all day.
Yeah, let's give him Leggett. somebody's gonna climb up this board. Our receiver.
This board is wonky though, man. That's the thing. Like, Pearsall is the guy who's going to be pushing up towards first round, I think.
Let's give him Pearsall.
I really like Worthy for him though.
Let's give him Worthy.
He's like fast. I really think they're like, Josh Allen can throw the football a mile. This guy runs a 4.2.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
All right, Worthy it is.
All right.
Detroit.
Cooper DeGene would be a great Detroit Lion.
Cooper DeGene's a Detroit Lion.
Let's go Cooper DeGene, Detroit Lions. Baltimore.
I think Darius Robinson makes a lot of sense.
I think T'Vondre Sweat makes a lot of sense here.
Really?
They love those big body interior defensive linemen. I think they, in their mind, they think they can get them right.
See, I don't know that they do like those big body interior defensive linemen. At least not early, like this early.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty analytics driven, and which pushes them against that.
Okay. So.
And Darius Robinson is 290 pounds. I mean, he's a D tackle.
Yeah.
Posing as an edge rusher.
Trey Benson? They need a running back.
No, I don't think they're going running back first round.
Somebody will, I think.
Yeah, I just don't think it'll be the Ravens.
That could be the 49ers?
Maybe.
We could go.
I mean, they need wide receiver too. I could see them being a team that reaches on a wide receiver.
Keon Coleman?
I think a Ladd McConkey fits there. Their historical receiver profile pretty well.
Yeah. Who do they have at wide receiver now? They have the kid from last year, the rookie last year.
Or Ricky Pearsall, even. I could see them doing. Yeah, they got Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and Nelson Agholor.
Yeah. Rashad Bateman hasn't really worked out for them like they'd hoped. But let's get Ladd McConkey here. How big is Ladd McConkey? Can he play it?
5'10 and a half, I think. Maybe 5'11.
Okay.
But we're doing it?
We can go him, Ladd. They don't like guys over 6 foot there in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's what I meant by he fits their profile of what they historically draft.
49ers. I think they go defense.
I think Darius Robinson makes a lot of sense here.
Cooper out of A&M, I like a lot.
Or Chris Jenkins.
As long as it's not the Cowboys taking him, go ahead.
Love Chris Jenkins.
And then Kansas City goes Keon Coleman. And he's all pro his first year.
Okay, I can buy it.
They just lost their number one receiver, so they need somebody.
All right. I have a feeling we just pissed off half the fan bases in the NFL.
Ain't so no much. Way.
But
who would be mad about this? We were fair. We were delightful.
I do not think we hit what a lot of fan bases think they need, but we didn't do our research.
No, we were very well studied. Then this is what's going to happen. All the trades are correct. This is the official big board, and you don't even have to draft now. Teams just get a little FedEx envelope and be like, this is what you got. This is what you traded. This is now who's on your team going into the second round. So we're just going to forego day one since it's already a done deal. And the second round starts now.
Are we starting that now?
Just go of all seven rounds. But, all right, well, we'll do some more draft talk, a little bit more in-depth going into the draft.
We might as well do another mock next week, just to see what we come up with.
Yeah, we could do that. So who's won the national championship in basketball? NC State?
I hope.
UConn is way too damn good.
Yeah, it's probably UConn, but I'm pulling for NC State all the way.
Yeah, DJ Burns, man. Kid's a baller.
There are NFL teams poking around at him for offensive tackle.
He doesn't want to play football.
He doesn't, but you know what? They want him to.
If they give him a guaranteed deal, maybe.
I mean, if the Washington Commanders want it to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
One thing we know.
Didn't you hear the Harry Cliff?
Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury shows up in Raleigh, North Carolina with a nice tackle check for PJ saying, hey, you want to play some football? You think he's going to say no?
Yeah. No, he can't say no to Cliff Kingsbury. How do you think Patrick Mahomes ended up at Tech? Oh, yeah, everybody else is just stupid. I think that's about it, buddy. So are we gonna have model picks for the final four?
Yeah, when does that start?
Saturday, I believe. I think it's Saturday, Monday.
It will.
Saturday, Monday. We have USC 300 coming in a couple of weeks. Might have to get our boy Miles on and break that down with us, or me and Miles just do something separate. But biggest card ever. Millennium they do a. Or not millennium. What's the word for 100?
Century. I mean,
century, yeah. Or something at the century mark, they blow it out of the water. Huge, huge card. I think there's like 17 former champions fighting on the card. Former/current champions fighting on the card. Should be incredible. So break that down for y'all soon. We got Final Four coming up. Baseball season's in full effect. Go Rangers. Cubbies are looking pretty good this year.
We'll see.
There's some promise to the Cubbies.
Yeah.
Your Phillies, Bryce Harper, 3 home runs today with a grand slam. Not too bad of a day for your boy there in Philadelphia. You gonna get out to the bank and watch some games?
Yeah, you know it. I'm gonna be there in my Kyle Schwarber jersey, loving it.
I would love to be in a baseball town. That would be so fun. And Philly's a great city for it. So
I literally live like a mile and a half from the stadium. So
yeah, and I mean baseball games are cheap, man. I wish I could be a go to. That's like the only thing I don't like about not living in a big city, because like, if you're not doing the travel and everything, just going to a day game,
yeah,
on a Friday, like skipping work, getting like decent tickets for like $25, can't beat it.
Beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and you're in a good city for it. So enjoy those Phillies games. I don't know. You got anything else for the boys, for the girls?
Don't sleep on someone. We don't know who yet, but don't do it.
I really don't want it to be the team that I think it is, so just won't say it.
All right. Adios.
Adios.